Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
All right, let's do the business of sports brought to you by Security Financial Bank. We're going to hit up a couple of things here. First off, the ratings are in for the Masters, and they are down. Looking at CBS Sports, drew 9.589 million viewers for the final round, a 20% decrease from when Jon Rahm triumphed just a season ago. This is according to Sports Business Journal. Coverage peaked at about 12.562 million during that when Scottie Scheffler, you know, putted out for the win there. And this was kind of talked about leading into it. Could there be ratings going down? And McElroy was saying it too. If you look at TV ratings of the PGA Tour this year, they're down 20% across the board. So I mean, there was, and I think we even talked about last week, this was going to be a barometer whether people were kind of getting tired of the quote unquote infighting between PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. And these numbers maybe kind of show that at this point in time. I don't know if that's the case, because I mean, all the golfers were on the course, you know, LIV and PGA were on there. I'll be honest with you, I love the Masters. I was kind of bored with the Masters this year.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if that's, there just wasn't a whole lot of drama. There wasn't a whole lot of whoa moments. And I don't mean to sound mean when I say this, but Scottie Scheffler's kind of boring though too. He's really good. But is he kind of boring too? I think you could
like
say,
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, Jordan Spieth can get a little animated when he's pissed. Scheffler kind of just reminds me of Ernie Els.
Scheffler's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've heard, he's probably got something close to a 100% approval rating among people in golf world. I don't know that he has enemies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which that's refreshing too. I'll root for that guy every day. But I guess if you take that bit of an edge, like when Bryson DeChambeau was starting off really well, my thought was, oh my gosh, he's going to win.
He's going to win.
Of course, that's on Thursday.
He's wearing his team gear from LIV. The irons and the clubs he was using, he designed himself, and they were like 3D printed and all that.
And then it tailed off. So that could be part of it. I mean, if we're talking at the margins here. And again, you're not going to have Tiger all the time. He's aging. At some point, he's not going to be golfing. Sorry, it's life. It happens. But you can't always get a good storyline, I guess. I mean, maybe if Scheffler wins a few more, because Scheffler's kind of quietly become one of the dominant golfers in the game. Right now, you kind of have to pay a little bit more attention to Scottie Scheffler.
He's really good, but the thing is, when it comes to Scheffler, for me, is like we've kind of seen this with some of the next great ones, like a Spieth, heck, even like a Rory, where they come rearing out and they have these good runs, and then you don't hear from him anymore.
Brooks Koepka kind of had that for a little bit, and he's
tailed
off.
I don't know if Scheffler's going to be like that, but it's like I don't want to get my eggs into a basket on a great golfer when they've kind of gone through a run for a couple years, and then it's like, you know, where do they go to now?
Well, okay, and then there's another way of looking at this. And I don't want to get into the Scottie Scheffler can't quote-unquote win argument with what I'm about to say. But the thought crossed my mind seeing him get up towards the, when it was already, what was he within the top three on day one and held there? And that's the other thing. It was a pretty consistent one. Like, Homa was up there. Oberg was up there a lot.
And here's the other part, though, too, is like, who was in contention with Scottie Scheffler?
No, I mean, it wasn't outside of Oberg. They weren't entirely like, who the Oberg was that one that we usually get of. They came from where, though? Actually, Oberg's what, top 10 golfer?
Right. But a lot of people, that's not a Rory or a Spieth name.
Right. The biggest names were Bryson was there, and after that, outside of maybe Morikawa.
Unless you're a diehard golf fan, yes, you know Wyndham Clark, and you probably heard of Brian Harman. But they're not. If Scotty was below in contention with Rory, I think ratings are up a little bit more. You know, those type of guys,
right? So yeah, you that did hurt with casual fan, I'm sure.
Right.
So then comes the question, though, going long-term, and when I saw Scheffler get up towards the top, and I know Scheffler was thought of as being a, I think he had the best odds.
Oh, yeah.
I think
easily,
across the board.
Yeah.
Seems as though he's doing pretty well, especially at Augusta. What if, like how Tiger Woods has always excelled at Augusta, what if Scottie Scheffler always excels at Augusta? And Scottie Scheffler ends up winning, I'm going to go big picture here. What if he ends up winning like 6 of the next 12 or 6 of the next 14 Masters, but he does particularly well at Augusta and then has a regular good career outside of that, to the point that, oh, Scottie Scheffler won another one. Kind of becomes almost like the San Antonio Spurs, to use that, or UConn, to use that analogy once again this week, of not a lightning bolt kind of name, but they're always winning, to the point where you go, oh, he's winning again. Well, that's because he's really good at this golf course. Okay. And that long term, that might actually hurt a little bit. That thought crossed my mind. I mean, if he also does that, then that's remarkable for doing that well at one of the most difficult golf courses on the planet. But that could be an issue if Scheffler keeps winning over and over and over again at the Masters. Mm-hmm. And that could ultimately hurt ratings, I guess, going down the road as well. That being said, the Masters aren't going to hurt so much in the ratings that what they start going live style with their approach.
No.
And
no.
We need TikTok on the course.
No.
I mean, no, it's never going to happen. It ebbs and flows, and we don't know. There could be some guy coming up who's 3 years younger than eligible who's going to take the golf world by storm. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
No.
It's possible.
Yeah. So, I'm not concerned or anything like that. I know everybody's kind of like, you know, well, it's the live in the PGA. I don't know if it was the whole. I don't know if people are getting tired of it because, I mean, you got to, if anything, you got to see all of them together on the course.
Right. That's
you
know? Why it never phases me.
Right.
I'll see the headlines about live and PGA and occasionally read a story on that. But as far as the majors are concerned, it makes no difference for me because I know I'm getting all the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Cool. I want to see the best of the best, and they're all there.
Right. And I think, too, I don't know how much this would affect it, but, you know, with Full Swing on Netflix, you know, even if you're just a casual golf fan or sports fan, you're watching that, you're probably, I know I was like that after watching the first season, like, oh, I'm a so-and-so fan or something like that. Like, you gravitate towards those guys. Well, those guys weren't in contention.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's tuning in like, ooh, I really like Tony Finau. Well, you tune in the Masters to root for Tony Finau, and he's like out of it right away. You're not going to tune in the whole time.
Which is interesting given how Formula One's numbers went dramatically up. Now, that's probably because there was a lot of growth room with that you don't have with golf necessarily. I mean, yes, I suppose the sports saturation point, well, sports saturation point is always going to be a 100 rating. Literally every person in the country watching. That's your saturation. NFL's probably realistic saturation. I'm not sure how much more. I know it seems like they're always breaking records, but there's only so much more you can go, and at a certain point you're going to run out of people who care.
Mm-hmm.
So golf has more. They could grow, maybe not to 100 million people watching the Masters, but they could get, well, what was it? Again, what was the millions that were tuning in?
It was 9.5.
Still not
it?
Bad.
Yeah, 9.589 million, a 20% decrease from ROM last year.
Yeah, so
And last year, let's be real, too. Like, I don't know how much we can compare it to last year, because last year was the first year of the whole LIV and PGA. So there was that. Heading into the Masters last year, what was the narrative? Can't let a LIV player win it. You know, there was that mindset. Can't, we don't want a LIV player winning it. Really wasn't that way this year.
And maybe because, it didn't seem to matter as much this year. But also, again, the Masters.
And look who finished second last year, tied for second. Do you remember?
Oh, who was it?
Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, he kind of had that into it, too. It's like, oh, the face of LIV, you know, could he actually win, you know, the Masters?
The villain.
Right.
But
player face. I know Greg Norman's there, but you know what I mean. So.
Right, but that wasn't the case this year. It was pretty quiet. So I think that's Occam's razor. So what's the most obvious explanation? It's probably that it weren't real hot-button names involved this year. It was a pretty quiet tournament. I don't know how nice the weather was in other parts of the country, but if it was anything like it was in western Wisconsin, I watched probably the least amount of a Masters tournament that I have, and I only saw the very – because, again, we were out walking, like, almost all day Saturday and Sunday. We felt well enough getting over that flu or whatever the heck we had. We could kind of walk a little bit. The weather was good enough. But that meant I wasn't watching the Masters on Saturday for sure, and almost all day Sunday. It was right at the very end, and we were getting close to home, and I brought it up on my phone, and I was able to watch Scottie Scheffler get the final putt. Mm-hmm. That was all I watched. And I was thinking about that as I'm going along, and I'm getting the notifications on my phone of, like, how are the rounds going along, and I'm thinking, I kind of want to watch this, but dang, it's beautiful. I can't miss this. And I have to imagine there were a lot of other sports fans in other parts of the country going, yeah, okay, well, it's not that close of a Masters, and Scheffler's starting to pull away, and you don't have Liv Guy there, or it's not Rory, and the weather's nice, so, whatever. I think they're probably a significant number. Adds up. There you go. It's not going to be the case necessarily next year. What if it's raining here, and we got Rory going up against, I don't know, Bryson? Going up against who's like outside of Phil Mickelson, who's like Team Liv guy right now?
Patrick Reed's not the most well liked one. Well, John Rahm just went over there too, so I mean that's the big one. But yeah, I mean DeChambeau was the obvious one just because he was wearing his team stuff the whole time and
so yeah, like that, so. Rory versus Bryson next year. And it's a rainy day around a lot of the country or something like that. I know it's a big country. It's not raining everywhere. Oh, ratings will be back up.
Oh, yeah.
Mark my word. And I'm more in on that. Mm-hmm. How much did you watch compared to an average year?
I watched a lot at the beginning, the first couple rounds. Mm-hmm. And Tiger collapsing in the third kind of took a little bit of that away from me, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And not seeing the other guys up there, I was like, okay, you know, and then Scheffler was coming up there, and it's like, honestly, I was kind of waiting. I'm like, oh, is he going to get the call that, is it going to get the call that his wife's in labor? You know, because that was the thing leading up to it. He would withdraw from the Masters if his wife went into labor. Then it's like, part of me was like, almost like I wanted that to happen to see if he actually would.
Wow.
Which would have been a story.
It would have been, and it's one of those, like, you kind of are curious, but I don't want that to happen. Like, it's not a bad thing inherently. You just, like, no, you don't want that to become a debate. Like, that's way more personal of a thing. Mm-hmm. But it would have been an attention grabber, like Scottie Scheffler withdraws from Masters after the 12th hole of on the final round. Like,
right.
What?
Yeah.
That would have been unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's ever happened before in the Masters.
Yeah. So that, I think, would have gotten more tune-ins.
For sure. For sure. Too, yeah, that's one of those where you're like, oh, hey, I am going to bring this up on my phone. I am going to start streaming this.
Yep. All right. The other thing I wanted to hit on quickly, too. So the WNBA draft was the other night. And shocker, Caitlin Clark was the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. Shocking new sports world there. But again, the needle moves when it involves Caitlin Clark, because Fanatics sold out of Indiana Fever Caitlin Clark jerseys within the first few hours. That they were up there, $100 a pop, and they sold out. I think right now the only available size is a small, but nonetheless, they sold. That was the highest. Was it the highest draft pick in any sport for their jersey to go? You know, sold out like that. I think she beat out Trevor Lawrence was the name that I saw the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. And Caitlin Clark has better draft night jersey sale than any NFL player.
Huh.
So there you have it. Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
She is carrying this league on her shoulders now, isn't she? It's not because...
In a new way.
But it's getting forced upon her, like... You know, everybody was kind of looking at, you know, her rookie contract now, because she's making, like, the first couple of years is like $76,000 in a year. She's going to get more in endorsements and all that. We know that. But it's like, not to sound too dramatic, she's almost going to be viewed as the savior for this league to try to, like, you know, maybe contracts will get bigger, more sponsors, all this other money coming in and making the WNBA bigger.
Well, and probably so.
I mean, 36 of her 40 games are going to be on national television already.
Uh-huh. Hey guys, like I said, get ready, folks. You are going to know the Indiana Fever, even if you don't care about the WNBA. You are going to know the Indiana Fever.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why. It's the whole the analogy, the cliche, the rising tide lifts all boats thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Clark being around, unless she duds, it's possible. Or has a big injury and like her career is irrevocably altered. Let's presume that she becomes a star at the pro level. There will be more advertisers. They see the numbers. They're going to want to go in more over to the WNBA. And thus, more ad sales, better contracts, better rights deals. All of this starts to come around, which means that money makes its way down to the players. And Caitlin Clark will not be making the equivalent of $76,000. I mean, yes, what is it? It's relative to the WNBA, what a similar contract is in the NBA because of the revenue, because it's way, 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 way,
right.
Way bigger. So as revenue goes up, at some point, Caitlin Clark's going to be paid more. But the other players are going to be paid more as well. Camila Cardoso is going to be paid more. Angel Reese is going to be paid more. All of those picks are going to be paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And the other players are going to be paid more. That's good, so that they don't have to go, all right, well, season's done. Now we got to go over to Russia or one of those places. I mean, again, go back to the Brittany Griner situation. Well, playing over in Russia because they paid better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of players go overseas because it pays better and they play year-round. We want to get to the point where that's not the case, where if you want to play pro basketball, you get best paid over here. And that's going to come pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that going overseas gets gutted for the top players. Other ones will still, because that happens in men's basketball too. But it becomes more like men's basketball. And that's good. We should be paying the most over here because the stars are over here. The talent is over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I like it. That's good to see.
Yep. I agree.